a month ago to come here. And last week I just had no peace. And I thought, this just doesn't seem fair, because my business seemed so demanding at the time. But Mark kept coming back to me. And so I said Friday, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And now I can see. But when I came and I said to Bill, where are we staying? He said, oh, I put you in Mark. I said, thanks, Lord. I really needed that. So, this is going to be your first exam. Are you ready? This is your first exam. Oh, let me think. Another exam here. Three things that God doesn't know. Do you know three things that God doesn't know? A man who hasn't sinned. Another way to get to heaven. And a better time to make that decision than right now. No, but that wasn't your test. This is your test. Are you in the ministry? Oh, very good. Now, are you ministering? And are you ministering Christ? And that's what we're looking at. You know, we're looking through Mark's practical perspective. He's very practical, this fellow Mark. We're looking at the perfect servant, the Lord Jesus. The perfect servant. There's a good reason why Mark wrote and presented the Lord Jesus as the perfect servant. You see, Mark was a failure. Remember when Paul and Barnabas, the apostles, were sent? And who did they take? John Mark. And they left for where? Come on, Bible school students. Where did they go? Where did John Mark and Paul and Barnabas go? Cyprus. Why do you think they went to Cyprus? Well, Barnabas was kind of in the lead at that time, wasn't he? And he was a Cyprian by birth. Acts 4. He went to his home. But there wasn't a great response in Cyprus. And they left Cyprus, and they went north toward the coast of Asia to Perga. And there wasn't a great response there. And John Mark said, I've had enough of this. And I think he was from a wealthy family. The entire church met at his house. Remember when Peter was released from prison, where did they go? To Mary's house. They had servants. They had a courtyard. They were wealthy. By the way, John is a Jewish name and Mark is a Roman name. It's very possible that his father was a wealthy Roman. But he probably had the means to return, and he did. He left. He had traveled 500 miles. And he left one stop too soon. I wonder how many people leave one stop too soon. Because the next place they went was Antioch and Poseidon. And the entire city responded to the gospel. It says the entire city on the second Sabbath came to Paul and Barnabas and said, will you stay and speak these things to us? The whole city. And Mark left one stop too soon. And can't you just hear it? Remember in Acts 15 when Paul and Barnabas came back on their little furlough? They were sent down to Jerusalem. They visited Mary's house. That was his mother, John Mark's mother. Don't you imagine his heart just thumped and ached when he heard of the reports? Well, then they went on a second missionary journey, and Paul and Barnabas had a friendly disagreement. But Barnabas chose who? And where did they go? Cyprus. Back to where he had failed. Barnabas took him back to where he had failed. And 15 to 20 years later, Paul writes in Colossians 4:10, greetings to John Mark. He is one of the three of the circumcision. One of the three men of the circumcision who is an encouragement to me. And where do you think John Mark learned to be an encouragement? Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And the last, one of the last things that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, he wrote, please pick up Mark and bring him. He is useful for ministry. Mark practiced what he preached and wrote to us. Paul recognized it 1,000 miles away. Bring him. This man is useful in ministry. And here we have, even in the failure of Mark, he found one who never failed. The perfect servant. And that's who Mark presents to us. Now, for those of you who weren't here this morning, we noticed that Mark uses this Greek form called the historic present. And the historic present, I'll read from a Greek scholar because I'm not one, says the historic present is used to transport the readers in their imagination to the actual scene at the actual time of the occurrence. That's why the historic present is used, and it's used throughout Mark. Mark wants to put us right there, as if we had a little camcorder. Right there, seeing it. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to show us the perfect servant. You see, because we're all in the ministry, in service. The work of the service of Ephesians 4:13 is for the saints. That's us. And we're in the ministry. And this, the Lord Jesus, he's our example of the perfect servant, the perfect minister. Jesus said, I came to minister, not to be ministered to. And so as we see him, let's remember that as we see him in the Word, we want the Word to be seen in us because he's in us. For we have died. And our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is right now our life, when he is revealed, then we will be revealed and it will be glory. Because he is glory. He is glory. This earth is glory starved. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. But it's the plan of God to fill the earth with his glory, as the waters cover the sea. And what did the angels sing that night Jesus was born on the earth? Glory. And what did Simeon say when he held that little baby in his hands? The glory of thy people. And he is in us, the hope of glory. Is it just a hope for you? Or you have put faith as evidence of the things you hope for? Is he being glory in us? So we're going to see him in the Gospel of Mark, only that we might see him in our lives back home. Back home. That's where the results of this conference will be seen, hopefully, in the lives of others. As we accept our responsibility of being in the ministry, each of us. Now let's turn to Mark 2 and turn your camcorders on. We want to see, as we read, what Mark is presenting for us. So let's use our imaginations. Let's let Mark transport us right back there to the very time that it happened. Before we do, and before we read our text, and our text tonight is Mark 2, verses 1 through 17. But before we read that, I'd like to bring us up to date in our context of Mark. You see, we ended today somewhere in the first quarter of the second year of his ministry. And he was very popular, and all were coming to him. And he stayed on track. Because he stayed in touch. Verse 40, and a leper came to him. Now Mark gives us a particular incident that happened that was about to change the entire manner and method of his ministry. This event was to have a profound effect on the way he ministered. And a leper came to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly, Jesus, sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. I want a spiritual response. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely. We heard that this morning. And to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly, no longer, this event changed the nature of his ministry. He could no longer publicly enter a city, but he stayed out in the unpopulated areas. That's a nice phrase for the desert. That's what it is in the Greek. He stayed out in the desert, and they were coming to him from everywhere looking for it. I added that last part. You know, just as the Major reminded us this morning, so often the miraculous hinders the message. If we proclaim it, we prohibit him. And that's what happened here. Jesus wanted a spiritual response from this leper, this cleansed leper. He wanted him to go and show himself to the priest. He wanted an inward response from an outward blessing. But the man went out and proclaimed it, so much so that people were seeking it and not him. Now, this is intense ministry. Staying out in a desert place, in an unpopulated, uncomfortable, unfamiliar place, being thronged by the demands and the scrutiny of people seeking you because they think you have it. That is intense ministry. That's difficult. And that brings us to our text tonight. Let's read it together, but before we do, let's stop and remember who our teacher really is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to do what you tell us in your word you want to do, to disclose the truth to us tonight through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would open the eyes of our heart that we might see you as the perfect servant, so that we might see what you want us to be back in our neighborhoods and homes. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you'll enable us all to be that you call us to be. You're faithful. So speak to us tonight. Prepare us for ministry. Prepare us to do the very thing that you came to do, to seek and save the lost. Do it for your own glory. Amen. And when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Now here's one of those historic presents. The word came. And some of your Bibles, it has a little asterisk. That's this special historical present. And it reads like this. And here they come! It's like he brings you right into the situation. And here they come, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and here's another one, is saying to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, arise and take your pallet and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he's saying to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet and go home. And he rose and immediately took up the pallet, and he went out in the sight of all, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And he went out again by the seashore, and all the multitude were coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came about that he was reclining at table in his, that is Levi's, house. And many tax gatherers and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they began saying to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners? And hearing this, Jesus is saying to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Here we see the Lord Jesus very intimately in three situations. One is in his own home. Secondly, we see him out about in his own community, Capernaum. Thirdly, we see him as a guest in another person's home. Now, these are situations that are very common to each of us. And they're situations that we're going to find each of our lives involved in back home, ministering to others. And I'd like us to see the Lord Jesus ministering to others in these situations. And when he had come back to Capernaum, now remember, Capernaum was his home. He moved from Nazareth, lowly Nazareth, to the big city Capernaum on the seashore at the commencement of his ministry. That was when John was imprisoned. John was imprisoned the beginning of the second year of the ministry of the Lord. The first year of his ministry was really not public. There was only two or three miracles. During that time, John baptized. At the commencement of the second year, John was placed in prison. John stayed in prison an entire year. And he was crucified, and he was martyred right on time at the beginning of the third year of Jesus' ministry for a reason. So John spent an entire year in prison. Now, Jesus moved to Capernaum, but he's out in the desert places, remember? Ministering to these throngs of people that are seeking it. He's in an unfamiliar, in an uncomfortable situation, being thronged by people. None of the comforts of home that we need to have an effective ministry. You can identify with that. And all this demand, incredible demand on him, and it says, notice carefully, several days afterwards it was heard. Now there's something there for us. Several days afterwards it was heard that he was home. You know what the Lord Jesus did? He slipped away, didn't he? Because several days afterwards it was heard that he was at home. Now the expression, he was at home in the Greek, is literally, he was in the house. Literally, in the house. Now, the Lord Jesus slipped away from this intense time of ministry in the desert where he couldn't even, remember what it said in verse 45, he couldn't even publicly enter a city. Not even his own. He could not publicly enter a city. He slipped away into his house, and several days later, it was heard he was home. I'll tell you, I think we all need to plan times of privacy. We all, from our ministry, need planned times. Times of privacy. That's a need. The Lord Jesus taught his own disciples in Mark 6, come away to a lonely place for a while and be refreshed. And we see here the Lord Jesus doing it himself. Planned times of privacy are essential. But let me ask, how do we respond when our plans are interrupted and our privacy is invaded? How do we respond? How did he respond? Notice. And many gathered together so that there was no longer room even near the door. That's plans interrupted and privacy invaded. And how did he respond? He was speaking words to them? No. He was speaking the word. He was speaking the word. He was abandoned. That's the word the only word I can come up with. He was abandoned from his own plans and his own privacy for the sake of his ministry. It's not that plans and privacy are wrong. They're even essential. But he was abandoned from them for the sake of ministry. And he was speaking the word. You know, I'm guilty too. It's not wrong. It's good. We hear a lot today about being in the word. And that's good. And students, didn't we deal with that Monday and look all through the scripture and see how the Lord wants us to be in his word? But there's something even more important than that. And it's the word being in us. It says in Colossians, let the word of God richly dwell within you. Why don't we speak the word in our casual conversations? Because that's the word speaking here. The word speaking in this verse is not the word to preach or teach. It's the word laleo, which is casual conversation. He was casually conversing and speaking the word in his casual conversations. Does that take place in our homes? Does that take place in our homes when we've been interrupted and intruded upon? You know why it doesn't, if it doesn't? We may be in the word, but is the word in us? Is it filling our hearts? Because if the word of God is richly dwelling within us and filling our hearts, we'll speak the word. Because the mouth simply speaks that which fills the heart. That's all. The problem is his word isn't a treasure to us. Because if we treasured it, we'd be in it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if we fill our heart with the treasure of his word, even when we're intruded and interrupted, we'll be speaking the word. We'll be abandoned from our own plans and privacy, even though essentials. And we'll be ministering to others, even when interrupted. But the Lord Jesus was not only abandoned from his own plans and privacies, he was abandoned from his own possessions. And this one might hit a little close home. Look at this. And here they come, verse 3. Here they come, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof. And they not only removed the roof, they dug an opening. How big is a pallet? 2x7? 2x6? I would say that's almost humorous. Can't you see the dirt falling down? You know, can't you just see it all taking place? And their house is absolutely crowded. And they had to calculate where he was. I imagine they even made a mistake. I've tried to do that before. I said, oh, a little over to the right. And they're not only uncovering the tile, unroofing the roof, is the Greek. But they are actually digging the earth out and ruining the entire roof. His possessions. Whose house were they in? I can just see how I'd respond. I'm a missionary. I've been on the field ministering the gospel. And you're ruining my roof. And I'm only home for a couple days. How did the Lord Jesus respond? How did the Lord Jesus respond? And seeing the hole in his roof. And seeing the scratch on his sofa. And seeing what? And seeing my possessions have been damaged by those I've come to minister to. And seeing their faith. Now, to see their faith, where was he looking? He was looking at it. I mean, they were up there. They. Did you notice the they? And seeing their faith, he had to look not to the whole, but through the whole. We've got to have spiritual eyes to see through our possessions if we're going to be entrusted with them. He saw through them. Can you see through your possessions? Or have they got a grip on you? They have a grip on you. And I know many of you are sitting there saying, oh, I know, if I serve the Lord Jesus, I can't have any plans of my own. I can have no privacy. I can't own any possessions. I'm willing, Lord, I'll make it. I can hear it. That's not true. That's not true. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Plans and privacies and possessions are necessities. All these things will be added unto you. But Jesus also said, no one of you can be my disciple who does not first give up all his possessions. Now that word possessions in Luke 14:33 is a Greek word that's 42 times translated all his being. Two times it's translated possessions. And why they chose to do it there, I'll never know. No one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all that he is. All of his being. Jesus didn't say give it away. Listen carefully. Jesus didn't say give away. He said give way. And there's a difference, isn't there? You see, we focus on being abandoned from, right? As if it's works. Jesus said, be abandoned to. It's not wrong to have things. It's wrong for them to have you. Are we abandoned to ministry? Have we given up? Have we given way? Our own plans and privacies and possessions. That's absolutely essential if we're going to minister like the perfect servant. Absolutely essential. Do you know, also in our ministry, we need to remember to keep the mandate of our ministry. Notice the they that we looked at. Let's look at that again. And here they come, verse 3. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof. And when they dug an opening, they let down the pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith. What do you think they expected? What do you think they expected Jesus to do? I think they expected him to be healed, don't you? And what did Jesus say? Jesus was a man of great humor, I think. Here this man had just ruined his roof, and Jesus said, my boy, your sins are forgiven. I think that's marvelous. You know, Luke, who records the humanity of the Lord Jesus. You know what Luke records? This is tremendous. The roof is just ruined. The Lord Jesus says, friend, your sins are forgiven. You know what I would say? Friend, you are a great sinner. They expected the paralytic to be healed, didn't they? But what did Jesus do? He forgave their sins. There's no indication that Jesus was going to do any more but simply marvelously forgive his sins. I wonder what the Lord Jesus would have done if he hadn't been challenged by the Pharisees. Okay, fellas, take him away. There's no indication that anything else would have happened. But the Pharisees challenged him. And notice what Jesus says. Verse 10. But in order that you may know that I can forgive sins, get up and walk. Let's keep a spiritual mandate in our ministry to others as we're abandoned to ministry and abandoned from our plans and privacies and possessions. Let's remember we're not abandoned from and abandoned to for the physical and material demands of people, but their spiritual need. That's what he's demonstrating to us here. Let's get the wrong perspective in our ministry. We need to be abandoned from to be abandoned to ministry. And this is absolutely essential for every one of us. But you know, as we're abandoned in our ministry and absorbed in our ministry, and I noticed here in verse 13, and he went out again by the seashore, and all the multitude were coming to him. Do you notice there's a resuming of his ministry again? Do you see that? And he went out again by the seashore, and all the multitude were coming to him. He's resuming his ministry. And he's abandoned to his ministry. I don't know whether there was still a hole in his roof or not. But he went out again. And he was absorbed in his ministry to those who were coming to him. You know, and we can even become comfortable and even thrive on ministering to those that the Lord gives us to minister to. Those who come to us. But in being abandoned in ministry and absorbed in ministry, let's never be insensitive to those on the periphery. Notice the Lord Jesus here. He was out ministering to those who were coming to him, right? But as he passed by, he saw the most unpopular guy in town. Levi was the tax collector. Capernaum was the city and the center of tax collection for the region. And I don't think it's the first time that the Lord Jesus ever saw Levi. Remember, the Lord Jesus lived in Capernaum, and Jesus was the tax collector. I mean, Levi was the tax collector. I don't think it's the first time that he ever saw him. But as he passed by, absorbed in his ministry, doing what God called him to do, here's the word, he was alert. We can be absorbed in ministry and never alert to the individual needs of those we pass by. But the Lord Jesus was alert to the needs of those he passed by because he was alert to his Father. And it was the right time for the Lord Jesus to say, Levi, you old tax collector, follow me. And Levi followed him. We need to be alert. I wonder how many Levi's have been passed by today, this week, this month. You think of that fella, Levi. It's that guy you're thinking about right now and you think there's no hope for him. I can't stand to be around the man. That's who Levi was. Be alert. I'll tell you what, I was a Levi. I was a Levi. Lots of people passed me by. They were absolutely convinced that there was no hope for Jim. They were afraid to speak the word to me because I always had an answer for them. But there were a few who did, and it made a profound impression upon me to this day. And to this day, I can tell you who they were. Let's be absorbed in ministry, but let's be alert to the needs of the individuals that we pass by. And there's something else I want us to see just in closing. another wonderful thing about our Lord Jesus. We're seeing some wonderful things about Him. And it came about, verse 15, that He was reclining at table in Levi's house. Levi threw a banquet for the Lord Jesus. And many tax gatherers and sinners were dining. Now notice the words very carefully. The Holy Spirit's put them just in the right place. And many tax gatherers and sinners were dining with Jesus and His disciples. Verse 16. And when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that He was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers. Now the Pharisees, peeking in the window, said, "Look at Him. Look at Him. Eating with the tax gatherers and sinners." But what does the Scripture record? They were eating with Him. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Jesus was the guest. I have no doubt that it was a fine banquet. I think Levi was a well-to-do man. And I'm sure they had the finest clothes and the finest furniture and the finest food that could be had in Capernaum. And Jesus was just right there. And the Pharisees peering in saying, "Look, He's with them." But what does the Word of God tell us? They were what? With Him. There's a difference. When you get back in that workplace and you go to that fine restaurant with those businessmen and they put all that pressure on you to perform to their standard, are you with them? Are you introducing them to the person of the Lord Jesus? You know what, the Lord Jesus? You know what I see? What word sticks with me here? The Lord Jesus was attractive. They wanted to be with Him. Do you know what? These very men were captivated by the very things that He was abandoned from. And yet they were attracted to Him. They were with Him. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. And He can do it in you. And I've seen it. And I've seen Him do it in me. That they'll be with you. Bring Him into the scene. Bring Him into the centerpiece of the meal. Bring Him in. They'll be with you. Men are crying for the Lord Jesus. He created them. He loves them. And they really want Him. Really, they do. They're attracted to Him. The Lord Jesus was attractive. He was attractive. I've met men who were abandoned from things. And they were abandoned to ministry. And they were alert. And they knew the needs of individuals. But they weren't attractive. And the people that they came to minister to didn't want to be with them. Be with Him? Are you kidding? If he's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. We've got plenty of that in our society. Don't be like it. The Lord Jesus Christ was attractive to the very people that were captivated by the things He was abandoned from. He wants to be that way in us. We're not just examining His life. He wants us to experience His life. He's in us. This Lord Jesus Christ that we're reading about, this one that was abandoned to ministry, that could see through possessions, that couldn't hold Him, that gave up His plans and His privacy, this Lord Jesus that was alert to the needs of a sinful tax gatherer, He was attractive to people. They wanted to be with Him. They wanted what He had. They wanted life. And He's in you. Are we like the Pharisees, peering in the window, criticizing and judging the ministry of others? That's what the Pharisees did. Or, do you notice what Jesus said? I didn't come to be with the righteous. I'm the physician. Did you notice that this world is sick? Have you noticed? This world is sick. Is sick with sin. And this world needs the physician. And he's in you. He's in you. Which will it be when you go back? Will it be the Pharisee in you, criticizing and judging the ministry of others, calculating, reasoning, arguing? Or will it be the physician, abandon things no hold on me, see through them, alert to the needs of others, attractive to people in their homes, presenting life to them? Which will it be? This is what he wants for us. This is for us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the power may not be from ourselves, but of God. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's for us. That's real ministry. That's doing just what he did back in our homes. Listen, if you think I keep all this, you're wrong. My wife and I had a difficult time before I came in here tonight, analyzing whether I had a right to speak these things. It's because I wonder how attractive I am to people and how alert I am to their needs. And I'll tell you, it scared me for a moment when I looked at my wife and said, I don't think I have a right to speak these things. I'd file them. But I'll tell you, they're here and I'm in the pew. But I praise God tonight that he wants to do this in me. And I want him to. Do you? He can change this place. And we can take the physician to the sick ones. I believe he could have left that paralytic on the stretcher and given him more than healing, because he gave him the one who could sustain him in his paralysis. We've got more than healing to give. We've got life. But are we ministering? That's the question. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive me for not keeping the things that I speak. Oh, that I'd be like the Lord Jesus, like the Apostle Paul who said, I will not presume to speak anything except what you've accomplished in me. Lord Jesus, I want you to accomplish this in me for your own name's sake and for the sake of the people that I live with. Do it.